Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And this week is a doozy of a topic. Sage, what are we doing?
Well, this week's question is, when does life start? And before we get into all of the mechanics of everything, I do just want to share from my heart and say that I know that this is probably one of the, if not the most controversial topic we will have on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
This topic, of course, we are going to be talking about abortion. So trigger warning on that.
Yes.
This topic has become so polarized that we understand that it is sometimes hard to have a conversation that is not just, you know, emotions and passion through the roof.
Okay. Yes.
On both sides, on both, yes. On every side, on all sides.
Yes.
However, I do understand when I talk with a lot of people that people, you know, also are a lot in the middle. They're a lot confused. Yeah. There are a lot of people who don't know what they should think or not think. Yeah. And so in order to allow space for our listeners to make their own choice, to make their own decision about this, Janet and I are going to do our best.
Yeah.
No promises, but we will do our best to sort of try and take out the emotional aspect of this and just really have a logical
faith-based
discussion. We are not trying to sway anybody's opinion. We are just want to share from what we understand, what we know, and of course, as always, after you've listened to the episode, we want to hear what you think as well. With that being said, Janet, I want to ask the question, when does life start?
Yeah, when does life start? And, you know, we're starting with this question for a reason. You know, Sage is right. Like, we're trying really hard not to make this an emotional conversation, and we know that it is. But this question came from my Southeastern days. You know, I
talked a little bit college,
right, which is a Christian, like, Pentecostal Assembly of God University. And yeah, did I ever tell you, it's actually officially like Pentecostal was what I was looking on their website. Like, we are Pentecostal. Anyway, Southeastern University is where I graduated from. I transferred from a couple different colleges and I came in there. And the one reason I went to Southeastern, and the reason I gave, and it didn't make any sense at the time, I left a great college and stuff, was because I wanted to know how to have a relationship with God. And I was lucky enough that I had one of the most amazing classes, this ethics class by Professor Davis, Dr. Davis. And this is how he started the abortion conversation and stuff, because this matters. You can't have the conversation, are you pro-choice or pro-life? Are you for abortion or against abortion? And you can't start there. And I think you'll hear why. And so all that, like Sage said earlier, is that just please, if you need time to listen to this episode, you know, we're not trying to challenge anybody's belief or make you question anything. As you know, Sage and I are both faith-based people and stuff, and we believe in God. This is also just sometimes, like, people have never heard this before. Sometimes this is a critical thinking point that you didn't know. You just thought it was an emotionally charged topic. I'm going to quickly kind of go over some popular / like, this is kind of like the top like 8 theories of when life started or when does life begin? And so this just,
wow, 8 theories. There's not just 2 choices.
Yeah, actually this is 9 according to this, and it's really 10 if I'm like, looks like when I'm doing more of my notes. Yeah. So that's the one thing too, is that everybody's like, oh no, the Bible is clear. It starts at, and everybody goes to the verse of, you were knit together in my mother's womb or whatever. And so people are like, that's what the Bible says. It's conception.
Right.
Except that there are actually other verses, and they're like historically and stuff across our Christian history and stuff. It has not been conception. It has not been that that has not been the historical trend, actually. It's only recently in the last, in the 70s, 80s, that that's where this kind of Christian coalition, this Christian faith-based family values locked in. So anyway, so I'm just going to talk about a couple options. So one, like I just said, conception. Life could start at conception. That is literally like the sperm meets egg, the formation of DNA, which is usually 24 to 48 hours after sex. And so I'm not going to go over, like, I'm going to quickly kind of go over some pros and cons with these and stuff. Again, not as like question you or whatever. It's just kind of critical thinking points. And so that is that one theory, is that it's what conception is when, you know, after you have sex, 24 to 48 hours. That is also similar to implantation, which is the fertilized egg going to the uterine wall. And that happens within that same time frame as well, usually 48, 72 hours and stuff. Here is a theological problem with that, with both of those, is that there's the verse where it talks about few go to heaven, but also if children go to heaven, then heaven has now reached a majority, because 60% of fertilized eggs, or even now in this conception, they never attach. So that's the more than half, which is the majority, would have to be in heaven if they're children. And that's just not, that actually is a theological problem, because it says that few go to heaven. So that's one kind of con to that. That's one, again, not saying that they can't be that, but that's just one, like, all right, here's a con to that one. There's also individuation. And this is somewhere between 12 to 14 days. God, this is like me quoting God or biology, the cells decide how many people you will be inside. So this is when, like, either you split into a twin or triplets or whatever, like it's within this time frame. So if it's only one, that's when life begins, because God has decided it's just gonna be one in your womb. So that's one theory, that's the one that begins. Another one you guys have probably heard about, this is the legalistic view. And this is called the legalistic view because the majority of our American laws, this is when they say, like, laws take over, this is a citizen. Like, this is now someone we are protected under the law. And so it's not biological. It is the beginning of the third trimester and the end of the second trimester. So it's not a definite science, but that it's between then. So that is when the legalistic view, one of the problems with that is that it's a little indefinite. It also kind of puts in, again, with this, we'll go later, and some kind of issues with abortion and stuff. So that is one view, is that it starts at around, like, when the law recognizes the baby, the fetus, that's when life begins. So that's one theory. The other theory, and this, I'm lumping these two together because they're around the same time frames, but they're different, is brain waves, which is 42 days ish. And this is when there's an actual, like, electrical pulses, brain waves are shown. And so, like, you can actually see it. And then, so that's 42 days, which is about 6 weeks, which is also heartbeat, is the other theory, is, or one theory as well. Heartbeat can be detected between 6 to 8 weeks. And so one con to the heartbeat is, if, and it's not a con, it's just, it's more of a challenge. So if you believe then that it starts at heartbeat, what about in those situations later on in life where maybe there's an accident and someone is put on life support?
Right.
If you believe then that life starts at the heart, you know, with that heartbeat is life, then you're probably more like, if that lines up, then later in life, you're also not going to be, you're going to be supporting staying on life support. So it's not
that,
so
life kind of ends when your heartbeat ends.
Right. And so I typically, and I'll just say, I typically kind of lean with brain waves because was when life begins, because in that reverse situation and stuff, I would in life support if there was no brain waves. Does that make sense? So we saw here. So that's where there's some of the, not necessarily cons. It's just, here's where you end up later and stuff. So you just kind of have to decide, but those are some two cons and stuff as well. And the brain waves, that it's not an approximate, and it doesn't mean that there isn't a birth defect as well. And so that's something as well. The next one is we hear this one a lot too, is viability. And this is, again, not an exact science. It's around 20 weeks, 19 to 20 weeks. And this is when the baby could take a first, like, could breathe outside the mother's womb and live. Mm-hmm. Like that mm-hmm. is like, so in like first
with,
breath
with health.
Viability-ish, like if that makes sense. So like, you know, not a preemie, like in the sense of like, you know, 8 weeks, you would need like a ton of care to be able to be, to get there. Not that it won't be possible and stuff, but it's the idea that viability, it's like when they could breathe on their own kind of deal, that's mm-hmm. when life mm-hmm. begins and stuff. So when you can take your first breath,
with assistance though. I mean, the actual one where you don't need to be on a machine is later than right. 20 weeks.
Right. That, and that's different and stuff too. And so they were like, once you're out of the womb and like that was your life has started and stuff too, usually in that case. So yeah, there's a little like gray areas that this is where it gets convoluted and stuff with like all those things mm-hmm. you just talked about, Sage. These are potential, like, I don't know what the right words are, but just like kind of challenges to your thought structure and your moral structure mm-hmm. and stuff. This one was actually when I researched and stuff, like this was kind of like the most popular as far as Christian historically. This is what a lot of Christians went by. This is what Jehovah Witnesses still believe, is that when blood appears, which is around 2 months for the fetus. And this is based off of the verse Leviticus 17:11, which talks about life begins when in the blood. This is something like that specifically. Mm-hmm. And so there are Christians that believe that, or denominations that specifically believe that, which are Jehovah Witnesses. Another one, which is probably going to be really popular, I would say maybe not popular, but probably our listeners would understand, is the 28 days, which is a Peter Senger theory, which is when most birth defects show up within the first month. And so that theory is at 28 days, if there's no birth defects, like that's when life can begin. Right. You're getting into like, exactly. These are some very nuanced things. Again, there's also,
I want to make a point to that though, that some, you know, you don't do the first complete biological and anatomical scan until 20 weeks. And at that appointment is when they can actually see, are the lungs developing correctly? Is the heart developing correctly? So that's a lot different. 1 month till almost, you know, 4.5 or 5 is a very significant difference. I'm just, you know, putting that out there.
Yeah. Massive difference. And then this is a, like, not a very popular like one, but this is called the self-consciousness, and that life doesn't begin until you're 2 to 3 years old, where you can actually understand that you are a human being, that like you understand that you are alive. So that once you're aware that you are a being, that is when life begins. So, and that, again, not a popular theory, but those are one historically, in our Christian history as well, culturally, these are some of where people fall in line with, and they also all technically can line up with scripture. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture that can support everything that I said. So, and that's where as Christians, it's not that, so for like people are like, this is why the Bible, like, you know, it doesn't make sense, like it, all this, where people get defensive and stuff. You know, it's not, again, like God has given us a heart and a mind. You know, we don't make any other decision in our life just based on one or the other. We need to use both. And this is the same thing.
Yeah,
it's same thing. So that is just a couple of the different theories and stuff of when life begins. Like I said earlier and stuff, like I have my own personal beliefs. This isn't necessarily mm-hmm. where everybody we're not going to defend where we fall in line and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is just where we wanted to start, because the question now goes with like, okay, so are we pro-choice or pro-life? Are we for abortion? Are we against abortion? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that, you know, these first few things just make you question even that question in the beginning. Like, it's not that simple.
Oh, preach. Yeah. That's something that, is really like touching for me about, you know, it's not that simple. You know, in my personal opinion, you know, conception and the womb and birth are still very volatile situations.
Yeah.
From my own experience. And we do not, like we have made leaps and bounds in the medical field to, you know, to help minimize miscarriage, or yeah. even we have IVF. We have so many incredible things now. But you know, birth, you know, conception, birth, pregnancy, all of that is still, unfortunately, just, it's not given, it's not promised. Yeah. And so that's something that I'm, you know, really passionate about. When we're thinking about, oh, let me make my personal decision about when life starts and when it doesn't. Well, that's yeah. great. You can have a personal decision, and whatever happens inside of you can be very different from that decision.
Yeah. And that's just it. This is, again, your personal decision. Like the fact yes. that there can be 10 different options, like that should make you pause and mm-hmm. think and wonder, why are we getting so legal? Like, why are we getting our laws so technical and so early right. and so ridiculous if there's all of these different, well, theories and beliefs out there, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like this is the Florida Grown Femme show. You know, we want to talk about, you know, with Sage and I come from Florida, I still live here and stuff. And, you know, this issue has been, you know, it's not just for me, it's in politics or whatever, but I think we've lost sight of what this is. You know, this is a women's issue. Don't get mad. I'm not anti-men. I'm not saying it doesn't affect men. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Like what I'm saying is, and like, come at me, is pregnancy affects women more than men. Yes. Like, mic drop, hear that again. Pregnancy affects women more than men. Mm-hmm. A man is not growing it. Point blank, mm-hmm. bam, affects you more. Like, mm-hmm. and so it is a woman's issue. Yes. And so for me, it's so, so like heartbreaking to see that women are turning against each other over this. Like they're not having compassion or understanding. Mm. They're making assumptions yeah. and stuff. Like we're seeing these inhumane laws starting to come about and stuff. Like, you know, Sage and I wanted to talk about this so that we could talk about the fact that like, there are these 6-week heartbeat laws.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, if you are, you know, wait a second, Janet, like, wait a second, Sage, you guys are saying that like, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, that's a totally possible thing and stuff. Like, why mm-hmm. is this wrong? Mm-hmm. And my question for you guys is like, are you okay? Like, cause I'm not okay with my personal beliefs, as like my personal beliefs should not dictate the future of all womankind in America. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I think as women and as Christians right now, we need to ask ourselves, like, why are we falling on a cross on this? Like, why are we not okay with the way things are? Like, it's so unnecessary, these laws that are happening and stuff, like specifically the ones that are happening in Florida, this one in Manatee County and stuff, like pisses me off that there is even a talk about it and stuff, because one, there aren't any abortion clinics in fucking Bradenton. Mm-hmm. Like there are none. This is just a political point, like to score yeah. like whatever those political points, like when it's just going to cause more harm in the community, like support yeah. women, actually make it easier to give birth, you know, like it's yeah. absolutely. Yeah.
I do want to share a little bit because my opinions have changed with time.
Yeah.
My opinions have changed with having children
yeah.
and not the way people would think my opinions would change. Yeah. You know, and I agree, Janet, I agree that this is a women's issue and that we have become a very polarized, it has become a very unnecessarily polarized discussion. For me, sometimes I get caught up in the idea of like, you know, when you say you're pro-choice or you're pro-life, all you're saying is what your opinion is on legality.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, there's so much more than the law about yeah. whether it should be right or wrong. There's so much more that needs to be done in our society in order to support women's health, in order to support families, in yeah. order to support women who want to have children. Yeah. You know, there's just like, it's just like, man, how did we get so hung up on just the legality of it yeah. and think, well, I've kind of done my part by having a choice or having an opinion about abortion. No, yeah. that's like, that's the easiest thing, is to have an opinion. The harder thing is to say that, you know, we need, like, how can else can we support life, quote unquote, you know? And
I love what you do. Like, how do we support life? You know, one thing I hear from the pro-lifers and stuff is like, you know, you never know what that life could be. That person could be president or, you know, solve cancer. And I'm like, bitch, maybe I'll be president or solve cancer. Like, get the fuck down. Like, maybe if I'm not tied down, and I'm not saying I want to have kids one day, I'm not bashing kids, but it is a fact. Your career slows the fuck down when you have kids, at least stalls in a lot of places. Like, not for every woman, asterisk, but like, it does, like, statistically speaking, that is true. Right.
Yes.
Like,
and, you know, I was looking up some statistics, and 75% of women who get an abortion, it's because of poverty, because they are very much aware that they cannot financially support a child. Yeah. Wow, that's sad. Yeah. 75% of abortions, the reasoning is because they are aware of their income level. Yeah. Excuse me, that's something that we can influence. That's something as a society we can change. And so I think, like, you know, the fact that we have no federally mandated mother leave, you guys have heard me say it on the show, drives me crazy.
But we're like forcing mothers to have kids, but don't give them any support, but you don't have any maternity leave.
Right. And then we get upset that, you know, whatever, you know, we have the, you know, some Biden right now is trying with the Family Act and everything, people are getting upset. And I think my thing is, like, you just can't have it both ways.
Yeah. You don't get to have it both ways. You
can't have it both ways. If we're going to be pro-life, if Christians, if that's going to be the thing, which not all Christians are pro-life, a lot of Christians are pro-choice politically, then it needs to be the full gamut of supporting women. One of my other things, and Janet, this is what you mentioned, the heartbeat bill. And in Manatee County, there, you know, we don't have an answer yet, right, about the bill.
Right. We'll see if
we're still waiting.
Yeah, we're waiting to see if it will go further than because, so, like, actually, just to talk about that a little bit and stuff, for the so here's the thing with this legislation that Sage and I are talking about in Manatee County. So what Manatee County has proposed, the county commissioners have proposed, is that our county attorneys look into whether this county can become a sanctuary city and outlaw abortions. Here's the thing where there's a lot of issues with that, because one, Florida is not Texas, where in Texas, counties have that exception. It built into their constitution, where if a county decides that they don't want to go, like, support that a state law has happened, they can choose to opt out of it. That's built into their constitution. That's why this is happening in Texas. Florida, that is against our constitution, which is why it's up for the county attorneys to, like, research it. That's what they're in this call, like, right now in our limbo stage, is researching it, because it's not just like, oh, what's the debate, the law debate in this. It's bigger than that. It's, let's change the Florida constitution. Let's change the state. And, like, you know what, if you want to do that, like, that's up to your congressman. That's up to your governor. That is up to your senator. That is not up to your county commissioners, especially not this county, when they have been accused of a lot worse, and they need to focus on what is going on in the county. That's my little soapbox there. Like, that is, there are no, abortions are not up in Manatee County. You cannot get an abortion in Manatee County. You can only get a medically necessary DNC at Manatee Memorial or Lakewood Ranch. Mm-hmm. So it's not even an issue here. Just this one new one-term reverend wants to show off. This guy in Texas is reaching out, that helped got this 6-week law in Texas, is reaching out to Florida counties that are conservative and advising them on how they can do this. You know, like, I have an issue on that. Like, so
yes,
when it comes down to, like, all right, so Sage, are you pro-choice or you're pro-life? I am pro fucking choice. Like, I am pro fucking choice. Janet, but you believe in brainwaves. Yeah, I fucking do. Like, here's the thing. Like, the way that the law is now, it's the most compassionate, you know, like, it's not like you have, I think, like, the option up until, like, what, 15 weeks. It's not even viability, guys. It's not even viability. It's 15, 18, I think, in some other states. So, like, you know, I believe that, yes, when brainwaves, life starts. Mm-hmm. But if I find out at 12 weeks, or like what Sage is saying later on and stuff, you don't even find out early on and stuff, like there's signs that this fetus, this future life,
yeah,
could only know pain, could only know physical pain, because there are some genetic diseases that happen like that, then yeah, yes, we're going to have a conversation about what we're going to medically do, what's necessary, because there's a lot more humane options and stuff. And yeah, that would be where I'd be like, yeah, an abortion would be like appropriate.
Right.
The other thing too, is like, what I'm saying is like, I don't know what happened in another woman's life. Like, I don't know if, you know, she just found out at 12 weeks that she's pregnant, because most women don't know until around after the 8 week mark.
And you let's say why.
Right. I don't know.
Because some women who are on birth control don't have a period.
Yeah.
And most women do not show even until we're talking second trimester.
Yeah.
So for some people are like, how could you not know you're pregnant? Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of people, you know, and they're like, oh, I just like,
you guys know the show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, is a whole Oxygen TLC, like bonanza show. Like, it's a hit.
That's pretty hilarious. Right. You know, and I do want to share, cause I shared on here, two weeks ago that I had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And, sorry, trigger warning on that. Go back and listen to it if you would like to hear that. Yeah. And that experience confirmed in me the necessity that a woman has the right to choose her own medical procedures. Okay.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, wow, what if I had not been able to make this choice? And so I just want to share a little bit about the specifics to give you an idea. So basically, I shared in the other episode, I had had a miscarriage, but the doctors weren't sure if that's what had happened, because I hate to tell you, in the first couple months and even later, you're not always certain what's going on in the womb. You are not always certain. I know it seems like it's certain, but if you've seen a sonogram machine, it's archaic. Okay.
It's only totally machine. Yeah.
It's an archaic machine. I don't even know how they recognize babies. anyways, so, you know, here I was, I was at a point where they were telling me, it was on a Friday afternoon, that it could be an ectopic pregnancy, which is where a fetus or whatever is developing either in the ovaries or the fallopian tubes, or it could be a normal pregnancy.
Yeah.
And an ectopic pregnancy is life-threatening to the mother if it's not taken care of.
Yeah.
An ectopic pregnancy, you know, it's basically like just a countdown until your ovary or your fallopian tube explodes.
Yeah.
Okay. And no, they could not tell me. They could not see in my womb. They could not see a baby in there.
Yeah.
They could not, they cannot look inside the ovary or the fallopian tube. They can't see if there's a baby and a fetus in there, whatever.
Yeah.
My hormones were erratic. And if it's a normal pregnancy, they climb steadily, exponentially. So it's like a steady exponential climb. If it's an ectopic pregnancy, it's erratic. The like one, your hormones here, then it's there. And they said my ovary was like larger than normal.
Yeah.
Which could mean there's a fetus in there, or it could mean your ovary recently expelled an egg.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was as much evidence towards either way. And here I am. I had two doctors. Okay. One doctor called in another doctor to tell me, here are your options, you know? And I, at the end of the day, Sage, I had to make the decision. Am I going to go tonight to the hospital and get a DNC, which is where they clean out your uterus?
Yeah.
Or am I going to give it the weekend and hope that my ovary doesn't explode and I need to be rushed to the hospital for an emergency surgery? Okay. I had to make that choice. And nobody told me when we were trying to have kids that this is the kind of thing I would be up against. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody explains that, you know?
Yeah.
Now, what if I had gone? What if I had gone, gotten the DNC, turned out that it wasn't in the fallopian tube, and I had an abortion, basically? What if I had gone and gotten an abortion? In Texas, would my doctor have been fined $10,000 for aiding in an abortion?
What if I got a fucking bounty on your head?
Would my doctor have, in that case, if he had known, wow, I got a $10,000 potential risk on my hands, would he have not given me all the information I needed to make my own choice?
Right.
Which was that it could be ectopic, it could not, I can't tell you. You know, what would he have said if he had that looming over his head, that fear, you know?
Right.
And that for me is just too much.
Yeah. Honestly,
I could not handle
like, honestly, that. Like that is the Handmaid's Tale. That is the fucking Handmaid's Tale. When we are literally, and like, you guys think we're kidding. It's literally a bounty. Look at it. Like, that's why the ACLU is fighting. Like, man, the emotions are out. Sorry, guys. I'm looking.
Promise to stay calm, but here we are.
I can't. I'm out. The ACLU, you know, thank God they exist because they're working fucking overtime these last 5 years. Like, they're like, good God, I thought I was going to calm down with Trump. But they're like, with they're up against it because, like, guys, again, like, think of the repercussions of having a bounty on women. That's literally what it is. It's a bounty on women. And like, we are not after men. What about all these dudes? Like, you know,
and
like,
excuse me, the medical community as well. You know, I don't think that a doctor should be afraid to just tell the honest truth of what he sees or she sees.
And like, that's again, it's not like abortion is up in this country. It's not like all these things, it's all these non-starters, you know, like these non-starter issues. And my other thing, and so, you know, if you go back to like, I'm fucking pro-choice because what the alternative, and we know what happens. This is the thing that's crazy is we know the alternative. Women die on fucking tables. And for those who are a younger audience who don't know the stories that our mothers and our aunts and our grandmothers have gone through, ask them because you're going to learn something. Because I just joined a group that's working on, you know, looking at the 6-week abortion thing and working with county commissioners and stuff. And one of the women that I'm working with is she's probably in her late, maybe early 70s. And she talked about, and we were talking with one of the other female county commissioners who's a nurse and a Republican. And she's been pro-choice her entire political career, gotten political flyers from the Christian Coalition against her from the beginning because of her pro-choice stand, because she was a nurse and she understood that it wasn't a black and white issue. There's shades of gray in this. It's not that simple. But when I taught, you know, she was like, I'm so excited that you're joining and you want to talk about this. She's like, I love that you're a Christian and that you believe and like, you're so like that you can talk too about this to people and stuff. And I'm like, And I was like, you know, I told her why I was passionate about it. And she was like, listen, she's like, I was in college. She was like, I had just graduated and I was dating a guy that wasn't great. And I got pregnant and my choices then, and she said, I think she was in Virginia or something like that. And she was like, my choices were I marry him or I go down to a woman down in Maryland and see what happens. She's like, I got married. And she's like, I had three kids and I ended up divorcing his ass. And she's like, it was horrible marriage. And you know, it was terrible. She's like, we're not fucking going back. And like, that's what she said to me. She's like, we're not going back. She's like, we're not going on tables. She was like, and she talked about now how like when she, I think later and such, she was like 40 and had the same thing happen where she got pregnant and she got an abortion. She's like, I'm not doing this again. I just got my fucking life back. You know, like it's not that simple. And for me, it's like, I don't want to see women die on the fucking table. Go have these info. Maybe again, our younger audience don't understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about where women would go to other women who maybe were doctors. That's the thing. A lot weren't. Witch doctors, voodoo doctors, whatever, that will perform an home abortion with coat hangers, with whatever was available to scoop and scrape things out, and which inevitably hurt or killed that mother, that woman. And like, so it's not for me. I have such an issue with the idea that like, you know, my life, I have memories right now. I have friends. I have family. I have a future legacy, a future, and I have a purpose. And the idea that my government could come in and tell my doctor and myself that like, you don't get a fucking right. This potential life outrules what you could do. What are we saying to women? Like one, because that's the thing too, is like, what are we really saying? One, we're saying that could be a future man right there. That could be, that's honestly the other part of it. That's what we're saying with that. The other part too, is like, what are we saying that women are only good for one thing? And so that's like, you know, for everyone that's listening again, like I tried not to get emotional and stuff, and it's not, again, I'm not trying to sway anybody on like, okay, Janet wants you to believe this. Like, no, I want you to think critically about what do you really believe And what do you think is going to be best for your future children, the future daughter, your future friends, like your friend women right now? Like, you see what's going on in our country. You know, sexism is real. I can tell you, you know, I can tell you those stories where I'm like, just a few years ago, I was making thousands of dollars less than a man that was doing the same job as me, even though I was more qualified with more experience, right. You know, like that's real. And the idea that women, like, I don't want to go backwards when we're barely getting out of the shadows.
And Janet, I think the point that really stuck out to me that you just said, and that I really resonate with, is that it's just not black and white. And I'm sorry, you know, I really, before I got pregnant, I was definitely sympathetic. I didn't want to judge people who had an abortion, but I was like, no, that's, you know, maybe not for me. But then the process of pregnancy, the process of conception, of birth, really showed me that none of this is black and white. There is literally 50 shades of gray, you know? I know that book is not what we're talking about, but you know, there are literally just 50, 100, like so many shades of gray. And, you know, when I think of each individual woman's story, it's like, how can we possibly legislate that? How can we possibly legislate all of those gray areas? And I don't believe it's possible. Yeah. And you know, one of the other things that really affected me, because I decided, okay, I'm gonna do my own research about abortion.
Yeah.
And the statistic that just punched me in the face is that, you know, 60% of abortions are done by women who already have children, moms. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
60%. Are moms. Yeah,
women that know.
And I'm like, these are women. These are not just, I don't know. We have this idea that it's like, maybe like just teens getting abortions, or like teen pregnancy, oops, got an abortion. And they're actually like one of the lowest right now because of, you know, contraceptives and better sex education and stuff.
Yeah. Pick your poison, sex education or like,
right.
Abortion, pick one.
Yeah. 60% are women who already knows what it takes to be pregnant, who already knows what it takes to give birth, who already know what it takes to be responsible for another life, to parent, to do, you know? Yeah. And of course, some of that is, I'm sure, is moms who say, I can't financially bear another child. I can't. Yeah. And, in some people, you know, it's like, well, just like give it up for adoption or do this or do that. And it's kind of like, okay, wait a second, backtrack, you know, do you understand the pregnancy process? Do you understand what pregnancy is like, what it takes from a woman?
Yeah. I've watched people become surrogates and stuff, which I think that is heartbreaking enough. I can't imagine going to work, being pregnant and telling people I'm not going to keep it. Can you imagine the shame I would fucking get from people? Yeah.
The shame.
Can you imagine that shame? Mm-hmm. It'd have to be like, you know, women used to do that. They used to go back to their aunts on a farm and then come back and, you know, everything's peach keen, something happened. But like, it's not that simple. And the fact that like the mental trauma that would do like on a woman, like that does on a woman, like,
right.
Yeah, that wow.
And by the way, this is another thing for me, like you said, the shame. And here I am saying, like, guys, we're so hung up on the legality that we're just, you know, bypassing all these other things. Like the fact that it would be shameful for you in your work community, people wouldn't get it. People would be, you know, be like, oh my God, you're giving it up. Or could you imagine, as a mom, you already have a couple kids. You know, you financially can't have another one. What are you going to explain to your kids? Well, I wanted you to, but not this one. Wow. Ouch.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, oh, that doesn't make it right. You should have been on birth control. Well, guess what? Not all contraceptives are 100%.
Yeah. Anyone that's also saying that, like, come at me. You better have been a virgin when you got married. Anybody that says that, you better have been a fucking virgin yourself.
Well, I had a friend.
Virgin. Like,
I had a friend get pregnant on birth control, you know, and it happens often, you know? And so, you know, these are just,
that's. I told you about, she got pregnant on an IUD when she had the, and I was like, what? I was like, you are the 1%. I'm like, oh my God. I was like,
you know, so
that scares me. Like, you're the exception to the rule.
I think we do. I think my hope and what I try to do continuously is take out my preconceived ideas and assumptions. You know, that this idea like, oh, people are using abortion for birth control. And, you know, maybe a handful are, you know what I mean? But there are the other ones who are like, no, I was on the pill and I still got pregnant, you know? Okay. Which by the way,
this, like once a met, like that's their method of birth, like get out of here. Get out. Like,
well, the other thing is like, we could have had male birth control and then they didn't want it because there were too many side effects. And so it's again,
we're having a conversation about that men.
Again, it, you know, gets put back on the women. But there's just, there's a lot. I had a thought. Now I have to look it up.
This is good. We're like, again, I was like, I know we weren't going to get emotional, but now I'm charged.
I don't feel emotional. I really feel like, you know, there are a lot of gray areas and there's a lot of assuming and assumptions done about women, about all of that. And I think if you asked any woman who's been through the process of conception, pregnancy, and birth, they will tell you that it's hard. I think we probably moms should have the most compassion for women who are saying, I can't, I can't for X, Y, or Z. You know, I looked up this quote. It's from the American College of Obstetricians. And she, you know, they talk about, you know, there are some situations where an abortion is life-saving to the mother. And the last sentence is, unfortunately, pregnancy is not a risk-free life event. Like, you know, unfortunately, pregnancy is still a life risk for women. Like, life risk.
Especially in America, ladies, do your stats. Like,
And so I think I'm just, like, do I like, personally, do I like abortion? No.
Right.
Do I think it's great? No. Do I want to see people having abortions? No. But do I see all the gray area? Yeah, I really, really do. And some people would say that, you know, getting an abortion is a painful process. It can negatively affect the woman's mental health. And I read that and I was like, so can birthing a child.
Yeah.
Like, have you heard of postpartum depression? Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like, you know, I am kind of playing devil's advocate here, but it's kind of like, you know, if we're going to say this can affect that and then like not admit that having children can also have similar effects, you know, that's not really an excuse. So I think my takeaway, what I want people to take away from this, in my opinion, is like, hey, you can make your choice about when life starts. Make your choice.
Remember, it's your choice. Like, you allow other women to make that choice.
Yeah. Make your choice. But if we could stop maybe judging people who have had abortions, or if we could just allow ourselves to see some of the gray areas and have some compassion, that would be my wish for our listeners today.
Yeah. I think my other, you know, what I hope our audience like takes away is that if you are pro-choice, like, you know, maybe you're like been nodding your head to everything Sage and I have been saying. You're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, yeah, I totally agree. Like, you need to speak up because women are under attack. And like, maybe you think, I'm like, I know, maybe that sounds crazy to you. Go back and listen to Is the Handmaid's Tale Real? Women's issues are still real. Like, women are being attacked and women need to speak up, because like, that's the thing is like, I'm tired of men leading this. Like, it's always men leading this pro-life shit. It's not women, you know, like women need to speak up and be loud and have uncomfortable conversations with your friends. Like, and like, that's the thing is like, you know, like Sage and I have had this conversation. This isn't the first time we've had this conversation. And like, and maybe it's just because I'm a politically charged person, but like, I've had this conversation with all of my female friends. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation that as women we're already having those coffee shop chats. Like, you're having these conversations with your friends. Mm-hmm. Be bold. You know, you're not alone. I know it seems like there's this a conservative mass, like, and it has this like speaker right now that this is what Christians believe. The whole reason we started this podcast was to tell other women that you're not alone. You know, right. Like we are pro-choice, Jesus feminists. Like my faith dictates my politics, not the other way around. My faith dictates my politics. And I think that people have gotten so to like, they decided that, oh, Democrats, evil bitches want to murder like babies. Like, you know, yes, they just like, they can't get out of themselves and just look like we need to go back. You know, I know people want to go back in time. It feels like I'm like, let's go back in time to where we didn't judge people on what their fucking political parties are. Guys, you have to choose. You have to make a, you have to check box, you know, to vote. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not really fair for you to judge something that we have to choose. And so as women, speak up for other women, support other women.
Yeah.
You know, support other women, try to understand, even if you believe that life starts at conception,
right?
Please hear what Sage and I are saying, that there is gray in there. You know, not everybody.
And a thousand other ways. There are a thousand ways to support life beyond the legality. We have to get beyond that. We have to get beyond that. Because when it stops there, nobody has been pro-life. When the conversation stops there, nobody has, you know, we have not supported families. We have not supported women. We have not supported the unborn just by making a law, you know? Yeah. And, Janet, I just really agree with everything you're saying. And I do want to say to people, because there are people who are afraid to say their opinion on this.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of fear that if you say you're pro-choice, that means you're pro-abortion. And I think it's okay to say, no, I really don't like abortion. I don't really want to see abortion. But I also really want to advocate for other ways to minimize that number, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so what I also want to hear, you know, our listeners to hear is that, hey, polarizing each other. So me saying, I don't want to talk to them because they're not open, or they're completely closed off to my opinions. Like, that's also not helping unborn lives. That's not helping babies. That's not helping moms, you know? And so I think we have got to be willing to sit at the table, like Janet is saying, be willing to sit at the table and have discussions and have conversations, and it not just, you know, end in the legality part, because that's really, in my opinion, like it's like the biggest part of the debate and the smallest part of the issue, you know, and there's so much else, you know? So let's sit, hey ladies, let's sit together. Even if you're telling, you know, Janet and I, nope, I'm 100% pro-life, not changing. Okay. Let's sit at the table and still discuss how we can support women.
Yeah.
Because both, everybody on all sides of this issue can make the decision to support women in some way.
Right. Cause I think, you know, you bring up a very good point, Sage, cause here's my thing for anyone that believes that conception, like, you can believe that, but what about the woman at 10 weeks that finds out X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
You know, how do you support her in that instance? And so, yeah, Sage, like you just said that, like you nailed it and stuff. And like, I think this is the episode where I would love it. Love more than anything else for our audience. Like, if this resonates with you, please share this, like take a screenshot of this, share it to your Instagram story, tag us, tag your friends, let us know what you think on this. Because again, like, this is something that I think, you know, we hear about it, but it's not actually really talked about, you know, like we're not actually talking about it. We're just screaming at each other. And so if this resonates with you, is there something that like you like, we're like, yes, Sage, yes, Janet, like, please like screenshot that, share it to your like Facebook, your Instagram, tag us, or DM us and let us know, like, hey, like, I love what you said. It's okay. Like what Sage said, like, I'm comfortable with confrontation. Not everybody is, you know, for those, like, you know, if you just want to go into our DMs and let us know that, like, hey, I love this, like, please do. You know, you can follow us at Florida Grown Femmes Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. You can listen to the show on Spotify, Google, Podomatic, Apple. And I'm like, they say all of them, the major ones. I'm like, you can listen all the major ones where you listen to podcasts. So please subscribe and rate, You know, it really means a lot to us when you rate our show. It gets us in front of more eyes, the more that you guys share our episodes and rate us and stuff. So it means a lot to us when you do that. And so again, like if you really resonated with, if this resonated with you, I guess even if it didn't, like go into our DMs, but like, please share, let us know. Let us know what your friends think. We really want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, definitely. And if you disagreed with everything we said, like, hey, that's okay. Yeah, if you have a differing opinion, guess what? That's all right. And I think that's what Jan and I's heart is like, we still want to sit at the table and discuss.
Yeah.
Especially with people who, you know, differ in opinion. So we love you guys.
You guys are the best. Love you. Thank you. Yeah. Love you. Until next week.
Bye-bye.